An activist group says that Israel has tried to conceal the damage from the Tuesday night missile attack by Iran, which Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps says hit the Israeli military and intelligence sites. The group, styling itself as the Gray Zone, released footage of two missile strikes. It says one of them hit a quarter mile from the Nevatim Air Base in Negev Desert, and the other hit some 100 meters from Mossad's headquarters in Tel Aviv. According to the Gray Zone, Israeli officials have made no mention of the second hit and have tried to cordon off the area to prevent access to other possible impact sites. The Israeli military is pushing ahead with attacks on Lebanon. Lebanese health officials condemn the regime's indiscriminate strikes that are killing civilians and rescue workers. Israeli fighter jets conducted a series of air raids on a number of locations in and near the Lebanese capital of Beirut this morning. Now, one of them left a huge plume of smoke over a large area of the city. The attacks killed 23 people on Saturday. The regime says that the strikes, which have intensified in recent weeks, target weapons depots and military infrastructure belonging to Hezbollah. But Lebanon's health ministry says more than 2,000 people have been killed in Israeli attacks since last October, most of them in the recent spate of air raids. Lebanon's health minister also warned that the country's healthcare system is teetering on the brink of collapse. Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah says it's killed more than two dozen Israeli military commanders over the past 5 days as it continues with retaliatory operations. The movement said its retaliatory attacks have also wounded more than 130 Israeli forces. Israel, Hezbollah says, is concealing the true number of its casualties. The regime has announced the death of just 9 soldiers so far. In the latest Hezbollah's operation, at least 15 Israeli troops were killed or injured in the village of Odessa in southern Lebanon. Hezbollah also said it fired artillery shells at Israeli troops who were trying to penetrate into the southern village of Belida, forcing them to retreat. The resistance movement also targeted the gatherings of Israeli forces in the settlement of Manara and its vicinity. Israel launched a ground invasion of Lebanon earlier this month, following days of deadly bombardments of the country. It's day 366 of the genocide in Gaza. The Israeli military continues to pound the blockaded territory with more air and artillery strikes. The regime's military bombed the mosque housing displaced Palestinians in Deir al-Bala, central Gaza, leaving at least 26 people killed. Almost 100 others were injured in that attack. Resistance movement Hamas strongly condemned the attack, saying that the massacre amounts to war crimes with American cover. Israeli warplanes also targeted areas in the Jabalia refugee camp and Beit Lahia in northern Gaza, leaving several Palestinians dead or injured. The regime's artillery is also shelling areas in Gaza indiscriminately. The Israeli aggression on Gaza began in October last year. Since then, more than 41,800 Palestinians have been killed and nearly 97,000 injured. The commander of IRGC's Navy says that Iran will stand up firmly against anyone who would play with fire in the region. Rear Admiral Alireza Tangsiri said in an interview with Al Alam News Network that Iranian armed forces have been preparing to counter all threats for years. He said that the armed forces have plans in place for different scenarios of fighting the enemy. He said one such scenario is vigilance against any attempt by Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to set up a conflict. The admiral also mentioned the IRGC Navy's recent military drills in the southern Iranian waters. He said they display portions of the capability of the force, which he says includes artificial intelligence-assisted missiles and drones. Meantime, the Iranian parliament speaker says that the enemies of the country cannot harm its independence and national pride with any temporary adventurism based on miscalculation. Mohammad Bagheri Ghalibaf pointed to the remarks by the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Khamenei, about the enemy's policy to sow discord. He called for unity, describing as a deadly poison any division among the people, the nation, the government, and Islamic countries. Ghalibaf said that the same criminal Israeli regime, which assassinated Hamas political leader Ismail Haniyeh in Tehran, also killed Hezbollah's leader, Saeed Hassan Nasrallah. He said this shows the Israeli regime's enmity not only toward Sunnis and Shiites, but in general toward humanity and peace. Iran has strongly condemned the U.S. and the U.K. for the recent airstrikes on several Yemeni cities. Foreign Ministry spokesman Ismail Baghaei said that the repeated strikes are a clear violation of the U.N. Charter and the principles of international law. The spokesman said that Yemen's military operations are a natural response to the Israeli crimes in Gaza, Lebanon, and Syria. He named the continuation of Israeli occupation, warmongering, and expansionism as the main factor for insecurity and stability in the region. Baghaei stressed that these crimes must end in Gaza and Lebanon so that peace could return to the region. Yusuf Mari tells us that the U.S. and the U.K. attack Yemen for anti-Israel operations the country staged in accordance with international law.
And these were attacks, unlike previous attacks, because of the number of air assaults from the U.S. and from the British. They targeted three provinces here in the capital, Sana'a, with four airstrikes. They also targeted the central province of Damat, central Yemen, with a couple of airstrikes targeting police academies. And most of the attacks, the bulk of the attacks, took place in the western port city of Hodeidah, where they targeted the Hodeidah airport. And these attacks are because of the response from Yemen to the genocide that has taken place in Palestine. And what the Ansar al-Allah Yemeni government is doing, the army, they're actually acting in accordance to international law by waging this military attacks on Israel, and that's because of the Genocide Convention. The Genocide Convention clearly stipulates and mentions in Article 1 that it becomes a responsibility of nations to step in, even by military force, in order to prevent or bring an end to the genocide. So according to this Genocide Convention, Ansar al-Allah is acting in accordance to it.
In a sensitive visit, Iran's foreign minister Abbas Araghchi paid a visit to Damascus on Saturday after a short stop in Beirut. And this is at a time of heightened regional tensions, with escalating Israeli aggression on both Lebanon and Gaza. The discussions focus on Iran's support for the resistance and the coordination of efforts to face the Israeli aggression.
Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi paid an official visit to Damascus on Saturday and met with Syria's President Bashar al-Assad. The Syrian leader praised Tehran's strong response to Israel's repeated violations and aggressions against Iran. Assad stressed that this response told the Zionist entity that the excess of resistance is capable of deterring the enemy and thwarting its vicious plans.
There are two urgent matters on our agenda. First, addressing the issues of Lebanese refugees, and second, establishing a ceasefire in Gaza and Lebanon. My visit carries a central message. The Islamic Republic of Iran has always stood by the resistance under any circumstances and will always do so in the future.
Araghchi met with Syrian Foreign Minister Bassam Sabbagh, and they agreed to enhance political cooperation between the two countries and exert all diplomatic efforts to confront Israeli extremism and to push a ceasefire in both Lebanon and Gaza.
It is clear that the Iranians have taken the initiative after several blows to the axis of resistance, the hardest of which was the martyrdom of Sayed Hassan Nasrallah. This was evident through the True Promise 2 operation and the diplomatic efforts for a ceasefire. Iran is taking the lead.
Syrian Prime Minister Mohammed al-Jalali discussed with the Iranian Foreign Minister the ways to provide relief, aid, and meet the needs of the incoming Lebanese refugees to Syria. They also negotiated economic ties between the two nations as well as the mechanisms to enhance them. In addition to following up on joint work programs, implementing signed agreements and memorandums of understanding.
In this challenging phase for the Arab and Islamic nations, the diplomatic actions of the Islamic Republic of Iran meet the revolutionary visions of the region and the world. The message is clear. Resistance in Palestine and Lebanon must not be abandoned, and victory is the foundation of Iran's diplomatic efforts.
During his visit, Araghchi also met with Palestinian resistance factions in Damascus. He reaffirmed Iran's support for the resistance in Lebanon and Palestine in standing against the Israeli machine of destruction and killing, stressing the importance of coordination with all nations to support an end to this aggression. Iraqi's visit comes amid extreme tension in the region, which requires extensive efforts and high coordination between the two allies to face the challenges. Ibrahim Wahdi, Damascus.
Demonstrators in Germany have taken to the streets, voicing their solidarity with the people of Lebanon and Palestine ahead of the anniversary of the Israeli genocidal war in Gaza on October 7th. Now, protesters chanted Viva Gaza, stop the genocide, while waving Palestinian and Lebanese flags and carrying banners calling for an end to Israel's war on Palestine and Lebanon. They condemned Israel's war crimes and urged international action to stop the regime. They also slammed the German government's response to the escalating violence in Gaza and its continued support for Israel through sales of arms.
As Israel's genocidal war against Gaza reaches one full year, protests are being held around the United States to demand an end to Washington's total complicity. A man claiming to be a CBS-affiliated journalist suffered serious burns to his arms after setting himself on fire and shouting, "We spread the misinformation," in what seemed to be a protest against U.S. mainstream media coverage. This week, United States President Joe Biden bragged, quote, "No administration has helped Israel more than I have. None, none, none." That's amid the past year of ethnic cleansing, war crimes, crimes against humanity, and the deadliest year of conflict for women and children anywhere in two decades.
Here, numbers like 200,000 dead civilians, 15,000 dead children, 50,000 buried under the rubble, to hear about the numbers of maternal deaths, infant deaths, untreated medical, it's atrocious. It's absolutely atrocious. It's sickening every single day.
In the past year, Israel has ignored red line after red line from Washington, from bombing hospitals to invading the southern city of Rafah to targeting aid workers and more.
Something happens and they say, people will say, oh, this just proves that Israel is in charge of the United States. I actually don't think that's the case. Israel is actually the biggest recipient of U.S. foreign aid compared to any other country in the world since 1948. And so I think that if you look at just what's going on, the only reason and the only way that Israel can bomb people in Gaza or in Lebanon or in Syria is because of U.S. funding and U.S. arms support.
Many hope that Iran's recent historic missile counterattack on Israeli military bases may prevent further Israeli escalation into an all-out regional war.
Well, initially, you know, I thought a lot of them, because of the media here and all the statements, that they basically missed the mark and got shot down. But over the last few days, it's become clear. Even NPR today cited a study done with satellite imagery showing how many of the bombs hit, particularly at the air base. I forget the name of it, but it's clear that that's been, you know, had a real impact.
One major positive over the past year is that polls show Americans are now more anti-Zionist than many would have ever thought possible, and especially among the youth. Americans under 30 now side with Palestine over Israel by a 2.5-to-1 margin.
In a nation which seemed numb to endless war, the past year has been like no other. The horrific and live-streamed attempt at genocide has provoked the largest anti-war movement since Vietnam and shows no sign of stopping. Ramin Mazahari, Washington, D.C.
Okay, with that report, we come to the end of this newscast from Tehran. Thank you for being with us.
follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsetodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsetodayEnglish.
Tell a little about yourself.
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of
writing. Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners' Special Program on this Sunday, October 6, 2024. I'm Atefer Fani, hosting this program today. Listeners' Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcasts. Tell us which program or programs you like the most. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. So please keep us company until the end of the program. As usual, we've received emails and letters from around the world, but in this edition of Listeners' Special Program, we are going to read Mohammad Khaku's email, Haiki Puranan's email, and MD Anwar Iqbal Mukhtar's email. All of them are old and regular listeners. Mohammad Khaku is from the US, Haiki Puranan from Finland, and MD Anwar Iqbal Mukhtar from Bangladesh. Thank you for sending us reception reports. As you may know, these reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers, because these reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service to our listeners. And all of you who have sent in reception report, we will be receiving an electronic QSL from us. After a short break, I will be back with you. This is Listeners Special. As you may know, mosques in Iran are among the best in the world in terms of architecture. The combination of symmetrical patterns, geometric shapes, and vivid colors dazzles all enthusiasts. Mosque, locally called Masjid, a place of prostration to God, is any house or open area of prayer in Islam. Generally speaking, the architecture of mosques in Iran is a combination of symmetry, geometric designs, and vibrant colors. The architecture of the mosques in Iran varies from one region to another due to geometric structures, materials, and styles specific to each location. These mosques often have very complex structures in which color, variations, tiles, and symbolic designs are used. In different editions of Listeners' Special Program, we have talked about various mosques in Iran which are considered a great masterpiece. But in this edition, we are going to talk about a very special mosque in Iran, which is located in the holy city of Qom. After a short break, I will be back with you. Special mosque which I'm going to talk about it is the Jamkaran Mosque in the holy city of Qom. Masjid Jamkaran or Jamkaran Mosque is an important pilgrim center for Shia Muslims who are followers of the 12 Imams. Located near Qom, the Jamkaran Mosque draws pilgrims from all parts of Iran as well as other countries, who stream into Qom where all roads head to the mosque on Tuesday evenings. The masjid, or the Jamkaran Mosque, was built in the year 393 AH, or 1003 by the Gregorian calendar, by Hassan bin Maslah, by the order of Imam Mahdi, the 12th Imam of the Shia Muslims. Well, I will talk about this mosque more after reading your emails. Muhammad Khaku, one of our old and regular listeners from the U.S., has said in his email, Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah, also referred to as God's Victory, was the Secretary General of Hezbollah. He was a prominent leader who led the national resistance towards victory and liberation. He was 64 and had led the movement since his predecessor. Sayyid Abbas Mousavi was martyred by an Israeli missile strike on his car in March 1992. Nasrullah, a founder of the Lebanese resistance movement, transformed it into a regional force that successfully expelled Israel from southern Lebanon in 2000 under his leadership. The Iranian Foreign Ministry has criticized the inaction and silence of world leaders in response to the crimes committed by malicious and rogue Zionist regime. Condemnations have poured in from around the world, and numerous countries and communities have declared 3 days of mourning. The concept of martyrdom, as exemplified by Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah, is deeply embedded in Shia Islam, which venerates self-sacrifice for justice and in opposition to oppression. The concept of martyrdom developed in the 7th century during the Battle of Karbala, where Imam Hussein, the grandson of Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, met his martyrdom. The indelible legacy of Nasrullah will always be a source of inspiration for the oppressed around the globe and Palestinians who fight for their liberation and statehood. We pray for the strength and resolve to carry forward his legacy and to strive towards being counted among the army of the awaited Imam, Imam Mahdi, as he leads the righteous in the fight for justice and establishment of divine truth. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Muhammad Khaku from the U.S. Please accept our appreciations to you for sending this email to IRIB English Radio and listeners' special program. And thank you for your condolence message on the martyrdom of the Hezbollah chief, Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah. Of course, Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah's blood will not go in vain and will bring about the elimination of the Zionist regime off the face of the earth. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you. Welcome back. The Jamkaran Mosque is an architectural masterpiece that celebrates Iranian art in every corner. The blue and green domes with minarets decorated with Iranian tiles stand out vividly against the clear sky, attracting your attention even as you drive towards the complex. Architecturally speaking, few places can contend with the mosques that Iran has to offer. It's the blend of geometric design, symmetry, and vibrant colors that dazzles the eyes of visitors and locals alike. Welcome back. Here we've received an email and reception report from Heikki Puranen from Finland, who is one of our old and regular listeners. Heikki Puranen says, "Dear IRIB English Radio, thank you for the electronic QSL. I have to check the websites you mentioned in your email. It's quite hard to find addresses for IRIB local stations." Heikki Puranen, salam and warm greetings. Thank you very much for sending this email as well as your reception report. We will soon send you an EQSL as confirmation to this email and your reception report. We wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Well, there's much to be said about the great Jamkaran Mosque, but the rest you have to visit this great mosque in the holy city of Qom, which also the holy shrine of Fatima Masuma, peace upon her, is located. Now we go back to your emails. MD Anwar Iqbal Mukta from Bangladesh, one of our regular listeners, has sent us a piece of email. MD says, wishing a happy new year 2025. Please send calendar of 2025. Please send diary of 2025. First of all, salam and warm greetings, MD Anwar Iqbal Mukta from Bangladesh. Appreciations to you for this email. Although we have 2 months to new year 2025, which is not actually celebrated in Iran, of course, for a few minority group. But MD Anwar Iqbal Mukta has sent us a piece of greeting message, congratulation message on New Year 2025, and has asked for the calendar of 2025. Anyway, many thanks for sending this email to us and for your reception report, MD Anwar Iqbal from Bangladesh. We wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Of course, my colleagues will soon send you a piece of EQSL as confirmation to your reception report and to your email. Art is long, but life is short. We have to say goodbye to you. But before that, I just wanted to send my warm appreciations and gratitudes to those of you who have kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails, including Mohammad Khaku from the US, Heikki Puranen from Finland, and MD Anwar Iqbal Mukta from Bangladesh. Please keep in touch with IRIB English Radio and listeners' special program. We wish you all the best. God bless you. Goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z. An Introduction to Islamic Lifestyle. Today's lesson, Love of This World. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is A to Z. One matter expressly condemned in Islam is the love of the world for itself. However, if desiring the world is for the love of God, for His pleasure, for the hereafter, or in the hope of its rewards, this is not hubbu dunya, the love of the world, but in reality, it is the love of God and for the world to come. Allah says in the Holy Quran, "Are you contented with this world's life instead of the hereafter? But the provision of this world's life compared with the hereafter is but little." Why would we settle for something less, brothers and sisters? Why would we prefer the life of this world over the life of the hereafter? The Holy Quran says, "O men, surely the promise of Allah is true. Therefore, let not the life of this world deceive you, and let not the arch-deceiver deceive you respecting Allah." At times, deep down in our hearts, we don't consider the promises of Allah will come to fruition. This happens, you know, and unfortunately, the type of world we live in, sometimes we lose faith. Somehow we believe that the promise of Allah, these promises are metaphorical and not real. This is not true, brothers and sisters. The only time we fall for the deception of this dunya is when we stop believing in the promises of Allah. It is very important and essential that we believe in the promises of Allah. He is the truthful. He does not make false promises to His creation. So if we promise, if we consider His promises to be true, then there is no way we can fall in the love of this dunya. Welcome back, dear listeners. Today we are discussing the topic of love of this world, hubbu dunya. And the love of the world for the sake of the world itself is prohibited for believers. Remember that, brothers and sisters. Loving this dunya for the sake of this dunya is something condemned in Islam. Allah has already informed us about the reality of this dunya and the life of this dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, "Know that this world's life is only sport and play and gaiety and boasting among yourselves and vying in the multiplication of wealth and children, like the rain whose causing the vegetation to grow pleases the husbandman, then it withers away so that you see it become yellow. Then it becomes dried up and broken down. And in the hereafter is a severe chastisement and also forgiveness from Allah and his pleasure, and this world's life is not but a means of deception. Brothers and sisters, don't be deceived by the glamour of this dunya. It is nothing but a deception. The enjoyment that you gain from this glamour and this temporary dunya is very temporary in nature. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reprimands us by saying, "Nay, but you love the present life and neglect the hereafter." Unfortunately, when it comes to giving preference or priority or importance between these two, a lot of us end up making the wrong choice. We sacrifice our hereafter for this dunya. Unfortunately, you know, for those short-term temporary pleasures. So brothers and sisters, remember, love of this world, love of this dunya, for the sake of this dunya is highly condemned in Islam and is considered to be the root of all the problems and evils that we see.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
The Limelight.
The Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah has inflicted significant casualties on advancing Israeli troops, and Israel has launched a fresh airstrike on Beirut's southern neighborhood of Dahiya. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Iran's Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. The Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah has said that it inflicted significant casualties on Israeli forces attempting to infiltrate the town of Odessa in southern Lebanon. Hezbollah said it carried out a huge explosion aimed at Israeli troops on Friday evening, forcing the Israelis to retreat and inflicting significant casualties and injuries on them. In support of our steadfast Palestinian people in the Gaza Strip and in support of their valiant and honorable resistance, in defense of Lebanon and its people, and in response to the barbaric Israeli violation of cities, villages, and civilians, and when a hostile Israeli infantry force attempted to advance towards the vicinity of the town of Odessa, the fighters of the Islamic Resistance Front at 11 p.m. on Friday, 4th of October, engaged in clashes with the advancing Israeli forces, Hezbollah said in a statement. The statement added, this led to a massive explosion within the advancing unit, forcing it to retreat and inflicting significant number of deaths and casualties among its ranks. In the second statement, issued by Hezbollah just hours after the first one, Hezbollah said Israeli enemy soldiers once again attempted to advance towards the vicinity of the town of Al-Odessa at 1:50 a.m. in the early hours of Saturday morning, 5th of October. So the fighters of the Islamic Resistance Front confronted the attempted to advance and clashes are continuing. In the third statement issued by Hezbollah just hours after the first one, Hezbollah said that the fighters of the Islamic Resistance at 2:15 a.m. local time on Saturday, 5th of October, bombed the gatherings of Israeli enemy soldiers in Kfar Yuval with a rocket barrage. Hezbollah has been responding to the aggression with numerous retaliatory operations, including use of hypersonic ballistic missiles targeting the occupied Palestinian territories. The Lebanese resistance movement has vowed to keep up its operations against the Israeli enemy as long as Israel continues its genocidal war in Gaza. Hezbollah has also said at least 17 Israeli soldiers have been killed since Israel launched its incursion into southern Lebanon. Meanwhile, the Israeli regime has launched a fresh airstrike on Beirut's southern neighborhood of Dahiya, as Israel's unrelenting aggression against Lebanon continues. Several civilian buildings were the main targets of Israel's latest airstrike on Friday night, 4th of October. Lebanese health officials have denounced Israel for indiscriminately attacking emergency rescue workers as well as civilians. Lebanon's health minister said the country's healthcare system is teetering on the brink of collapse. The health ministry said at least 37 people were martyred and over 150 were injured in fresh Israeli airstrikes on Thursday, 3rd of October. We continue with Press TV's coverage. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, has hailed the brilliant work of our armed forces in launching a missile strike on the Tel Aviv region, saying it was completely legal and legitimate. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei delivered a public sermon at the weekly Friday prayers to a huge number of worshippers gathered at the Imam Khomeini Grand Musalla Mosque in central Tehran. The leader said the brilliant work of our armed forces was completely legal and legitimate. What our armed forces did was the least punishment for the usurping Zionist regime over the astonishing crimes of this wolf-like regime and rabid dog of America. The leader added, whatever duty the Islamic Republic has in this regard, it will fulfill with strength and fortitude. We will neither delay nor hurry in carrying out this task. The leader added, what is logical and reasonable and the opinion of the political and military decision makers will be done in the future if necessary, just like it was done on Tuesday. The Friday prayers in Tehran followed a commemoration ceremony for Hezbollah leader Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, who was assassinated in an Israeli airstrike in Beirut. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei last led Friday prayers in January of 2020. After Iran fired missiles at a U.S. Army base in Iraq in response to a strike that martyred anti-terror commander Brigadier General Qasem Soleimani. The leader described Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah as my brother, my dear brother, and my pride, the beloved face of the Islamic world and the eloquent voice of the nations of the region and the shining jewel of Lebanon. The leader added, I felt it necessary to pay tribute to Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, May God bless him and grant him peace in the Friday prayer in Tehran and to convey some notifications to everyone. The audience of this sermon is the whole Islamic world, but it is specially addressed to the dear nations of Lebanon and Palestine. We are all saddened and mournful for the martyrdom of the dear Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah. This is a great loss and we're deeply saddened. But our mourning does not mean depression, distress and despair. It is a kind of mourning for the master of martyrs, Hussein ibn Ali, peace be upon him. It is enlivening, instructive, motivating and hopeful, the leader said, referring to Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, the third Imam of Shia Muslims. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said, though Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah's body has left this world, his true personality, his soul and his way and his expressive voice are still among us and will never be forgotten. Turkey's Anadolu news agency has also covered the same story and tells us more. The Lebanese Islamic movement Hezbollah says Israeli casualties have been heavy during infiltration attempts into southern Lebanon. Hezbollah said on Wednesday, 2nd of October, it detonated an explosive device against an Israeli military force that attempted to infiltrate the town of Yarun in southern Lebanon, inflicting casualties among Israeli soldiers. The Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah said in a statement that one an Israeli force was trying to circumvent Yarun from a Forsted area. It was ambushed by Islamic resistance fighters who detonated a specially designed explosive device. Hezbollah indicated that the explosion resulted in casualties among all members of the Israeli unit. The Lebanese resistance group reported earlier ongoing clashes with Israeli soldiers infiltrating the town of Ma'arun al-Ras from the east, inflicting several injuries among the Israeli military. The resistance group stated that it repelled an Israeli infantry force trying to enter the town of Odessa, engaging them in combat and forcing a retreat. Meanwhile, Israeli sources revealed to Sky News that 14 Israeli soldiers have been killed in clashes that occurred on Wednesday, 2nd of October in southern Lebanon, although the information has not been confirmed by the Tel Aviv regime. While the acknowledgement comes from Israeli sources, the military stated that an Israeli officer was killed in fighting in Lebanon following the Israeli army's incursion across the border into southern Lebanon. Israel has launched a massive airstrike since 23rd of September against what it calls Hezbollah targets across Lebanon. These airstrikes have killed more than 1,000 civilians and injured over 2,950 others, according to the Lebanese Health Ministry. The top leadership of the Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah was martyred in an Israeli airstrike recently. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio by your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
RIB English Radio, a heralder of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Danish, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. I hope you're doing well wherever you are. And so we have a beautiful hadith from the Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam. He is in his beautiful hadith says that there are many lustful things that a person does and a lust that he goes and falls in for it or falls into that trap of lust for only a second, like a moment, a very, very short amount of time. But he will regret it for a long, long time. So that is the case with almost every sin. And that is exactly what Shaitan is looking for. He wants us to regret what we spend our whole life in regret of what we did or what we did not from the good things or bad things. So basically, the Day of Judgment is the Yawm al-Hasra, is the Day of Regret, and Allah calls it that way in the Quran. He says that the Day of Judgment is the day that everyone regrets a lot. And I believe that, it may be the most excruciating and the most terrible punishment that anyone could suffer on the Day of Judgment. That deep regret in your heart that you could use your life for better things. Why did you sin? Why did you commit this and that different things, sins? And you didn't, use your life for better things. You could have better friends. You could have, keep company with better people, scholars. You could have done good deeds, many opportunities that you wasted. Your strength, your wealth, you would regret all of that. And you could use your, youth and young ages, that strength, that you know, everything that you had for better things. So, you know, Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi al-salam says that you, if you commit sin, it's like a very short time you enjoy that, of course. There is a joy in every sin, almost. For, you know, different people, different tastes they have. But there is a joy, let's face it. But it doesn't mean that, you know, you should, like, spare the joy in halal things for the joy in haram things. Allah says, yes, enjoy. Enjoy halal entertainments, halal joys. But do not go around sins. So, you know, every time shaitan comes to you, ask, what then? If I commit this sin, what then? You know, what comes, you know, out of it for me? Then you would come to your senses and say, no, it would be only regret remaining for me after I commit this sin or that sin. Inshallah, we would be aware of the tricks of shaitan and we wouldn't regret what we did. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Danesh, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Bring us out from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Hello and welcome. Today, the world's attention is fixed on Iran. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, led the Friday prayers in Tehran, a call for unity among Muslims echoed throughout not only the country but the region. Meanwhile, the foreign minister's trip to Beirut, despite threats from Israel, shows a fearless determination in the face of adversity. What does this all mean for Iran and the region? Join us as we explore this topic and more on today's episode of Spotlight. To do so, we have with us our guest in the studio, Maryam Azarcheh from the Iran desk, and also Sayed Mohsen Abbas, who is a political analyst and journalist, joining us live from London. Thank you very much to both of you for joining me on this edition of The Spotlight. So let's begin with our guest in the studio, Maryam. In your opinion, how significant was Ayatollah Khamenei's presence in the public eye, leading the Friday prayers after precisely 4 years and 8 months?
I mean, basically, what is the significance of Iran being able to hit American airbase, Israeli airbase, right? Because we have, these were taboos in the past. Nobody dared to threaten the U.S., threaten the Zionists, regardless of how many crimes they committed. But Iran, I mean, this was Iran's second retaliatory operation, right? Iran had a first retaliatory operation after the Iranian consulate was hit. And this time, they're saying that this stress